Bem-vindo ao podcast do Bispo Frank Ochori. Que você seja ungido a ouvir esta mensagem transformadora e os ensinamentos realistas do Bispo Frank Ochori. Assegure-se de subscrever este podcast para receber novas mensagens todas as semanas. Deus o abençoe. Desfrute desta mensagem.
Father, once again we want to express our gratitude to you for the many blessings and the many wonderful things you have done in our lives. We are grateful, Lord, for the peace we enjoy, for the excess love. You loved us too much, and we are saying thank you. Thank you in the name of Jesus. And let everybody shout amen. You may be seated. Now this afternoon I want to share with you how to say thanks. Hallelujah. How to say thanks. I believe that one of the things that we're all taught growing up as children is how to say thanks or how to say thank you. I remember I lived with my mom, and every now and then she would have visitors coming to our home, and I always looked forward for visitors coming to our home because that's the time I become rich. When they come and they are going, they will look at my direction and they will say, have something small for ice cream. And I will get some one Ghana cedis, two Ghana cedis, something small for the boy in the house. And but I remember many times when I receive or when I receive this the money, my mother would say, what do you have to say? Then I'll be looking at her. I mean, what should I say? Then she say thank you. Then I would say, oh, thank you, uncle, thank you, auntie. You know, so most of us grew up saying thank you in that sense. It's like a cultural thing that you've been taught to say thank you for things that are done for you. But I want you to know that there is something even more higher than that. Because you can say thank you to somebody, but it's not really from your heart. And it's almost like you are fulfilling a formality. It's just a formal way of letting people know that you are okay. You know, so saying thank you to somebody is a great thing, it's a good thing, but it may not be the best way to express your thankfulness to somebody. Especially depending on what has been done for you. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. And so many of us have grown to know how to say thank you, but may not be from the heart. I mean, there's nothing wrong to say thank you, especially if it's from the heart. And it's important to say thank you. You should learn to say thank you to people who have been kind to you, who have been good to you, who have been helpful to you. It is something you have to learn to do. It must become part of your life and your character. Saying thank you must be part of your character, including saying thank you to your spouse. You know, very important thing. Psalm 92 verse 1 says that it is a good thing to give thanks unto God. Giving thanks to God or giving thanks to people who have been kind to us, who have been good to us, who have been helpful to us, is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. And in the Bible, when the scripture says something is good, then it's really good. Yes. It's like when God created the world, Bible says everything that God created, he saw that it was good. Everything God created was good. It's just the wickedness of the devil who has come to contaminate and to defile anything that God said it was good. But I believe that if the Bible says giving thanks is good, then there must be some powerful revelation about saying thank you and giving thanks. Hallelujah. Either than that, the Bible will not say it's a good thing to give thanks. And then also, the person who says it's a good thing to give thanks, the person who wrote the psalm is David. And the secret of successful people are in their stories. So if you look at David, he was a very successful person. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles 29, I believe verse 20, he said, King David died in a good old age. He died at the age of 110. Good old age. Receive such a blessing. Yes, he died in a good old age, full of riches and honor. And Solomon, his son, reigned in his stead. So this man was, number one, he lived long. And number two, he didn't die broke. People can be rich, but they will die broke. Yeah. But David died very rich. Yeah. Receive that blessing upon your life. You will not die poor in Jesus' name. Yes. He was full of riches. By the time he was dying, he was full of riches. And then he had Solomon. He had the son to take over everything that he had. And so such a person, when he's talking, you have to listen to him carefully. Hallelujah. Because their secrets are always in their story. Sometimes you can't even tell the secrets or the reason why somebody is doing well or why somebody prospered. But if you looked at their lifestyle, you'd be surprised to find out that there are many things that you can learn from. For example, the first scripture that David wrote was Psalm 1 verse 1. He was talking about who a blessed man is. Probably if CNN had the opportunity to interview David and they were saying that, how come at the age of 110, you are still very rich? Probably this would be David's first remark. You want to be a blessed man, then be careful of who you company with. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. You have to be conscious of who counsels you, who speaks into your life, who is your friend, who speaks to you, who guides you, who tells you what to do. So that person, that's a secret. And that's his first expression of what it means to be blessed. That to be a blessed man, you have to be careful with the company you keep. A blessed man does not sit on the seat of the scornful. He does not walk in the way of sinners. And a blessed man, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in the Lord does he meditate day and night. A blessed person is interested in the word of God. A blessed person spends time meditating on God's word. I mean, these are all wisdom keys to prosper, to do well, and to stay on the road of prosperity until a very good old age. But among many things that David said and the many things that David did, all right, he was a very thankful person. David was a thankful person. He was also a very prayerful person. Amen. And so, looking at David's lifestyle, you would learn so many things, you know, and before you realize, you're also dying a good old age, full of riches and honor. Receive that blessing. Let's welcome our mommy. Mommy, it's good to see you. I was hoping that you wouldn't come and sit here whilst I'm preaching, but God didn't listen to my prayers. But it's good to see you. Bishop Dennis, how do you do it when mommy is sitting here? All right. So, the point I'm trying to make is that David had a lot of keys to why he became a great man, a successful man, a man who was rich even in his old age. And so when he says that it is a good thing to give thanks to God, it means that it is one of the secrets he applied to his life. That he was always a thankful person. And we live in a generation where many people are not thankful. Many people are ungrateful, unthankful, and if they had opportunity, they will even reward your good with evil. Instead of saying thank you, they reward your goodness. Instead of saying thank you, they rather pay you with evil. And David experienced all these type of people around, and such people are always cursed. But he understood the importance of living a life of gratitude. And as a church, one of the things that our father and our prophet has taught us is to be thankful always. In fact, he has even written a book for us, How Can I Say Thanks? And I believe it's one of the most important books that he has written for all of us. Because it is not automatic that people will be thankful. Rather, the naturalness is to be ungrateful. Our natural tendency is to be ungrateful and to complain and to murmur and to speak against and to complain about one thing that has not been done, forgetting about the 1 million things that have been done. That's the human nature. So you see people, God has blessed them, let's say even the church, God has blessed us with a great prophet. Do you see? I mean, how many, usually when you meet a pastor, God has anointed a pastor for one particular thing. When you mention men of God, immediately what comes into your mind is what they do. You say, Benny Hinn, so healing and miracles. You say, oh, Bonky, you say, evangelism. You say, this, then it's like, there's always something that's associated with a person. But when you mention our father's name, it's like you don't know where to even stop. He's a church builder. He's an evangelist. He's a miracle worker. He's a healer. He's a church planter. He's into missions. I mean, the things are, he's an author. Plenty things. He's a songwriter. I mean, one person is gifted so much. And that's the pastor God has given to us. But you see, you can sit in the church and not see and be grateful for all this. That when you have a wedding, there's a song. There's a beautiful song that has been written to make your wedding look beautiful and nice. I mean, it's like everything. When you want to marry, there's a whole book, a whole big book that talks about marriage, even how to raise your children after marriage. Everything is there. But you see, you can be in the midst of all these great things and never be able to say thank you and be happy and appreciate that God chose you and put you in a family like this and under a pastor like that. Yes. So it is important that as a church and as a people, we recognize the different blessings in our lives and be grateful to God about them. Instead of looking at something that probably you can't find and you can't see, and then that makes you, that blinds you and makes you to forget all the other important things, then you become mad. You start misbehaving. You see, and Satan is wicked. Satan has, he has always used what you don't have to make you ungrateful. When he went into the garden, God had given everything to Adam, including his presence. God will visit them in the coolness of the day, probably every morning and every evening. You have fellowship with them. God is the one who gave power to Adam to give names to all the creatures, all the animals in the world. I mean, he was such a powerful force on earth. God gave him dominion. He said, listen, let's give this guy dominion on this earth. We have dominion in heaven. He's in charge on this earth.
That's right.
Let's give him everything. Dominion over the fishes, the fowls of the air, the fishes in the sea, the animal, the wild beast, everything. It's like, this guy, let's give everything to him. The only thing God did not give to him was just some one tree standing in the corner there. And Satan was able to shift his attention from the many things God had given to him to that one particular thing that he couldn't lay hands on. And that turned him into an unthankful, ungrateful person. And in the end, he was cursed. And he lost everything. And that's how we are. And Satan has not changed his tricks. So look into your life. The many blessings God has given to you, then that one particular thing that is not yet in or has not yet been given to you is that particular thing that your whole life and your attention is drawn towards that thing. And then it makes you a complainer, a murmurer, as though God has never been good to you. But God has been good to all of us. The fact that you are sitting here at this time of the year, I know that even though your party didn't win this election, but God has still been good to you. Oh, God has been good. I mean, look, I am coming from Mozambique. We had election on 7th of October. Up to today, the result has not been declared. Up to today, the one who lost has not conceded. He's rather left the country and is sitting on social media and directing the whole country into confusion. And then here we are. The vice president is out already. He has come to concede and say he has lost. Congratulated Mahama. Come on, put your hands together. This is a blessing for us as a nation. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. I was here last week and I left for Mozambique. And I'm supposed to travel somewhere for a very important meeting. And I got a message that the whole of last week, they were coming to block our airport. Nobody can fly out of the country. So I had to leave the country just before they did that. If I was in Mozambique, I would not be here, but I would not be able to travel. Yeah. So I had to escape. I had to find a ticket early in the morning. They can't declare the results. And the confusion, you know, killing, shooting, all kinds of things. Just for one election. And then here we are. I said, your president didn't win, your candidate didn't win, but God has been good to us and he has kept us together with a peaceful election. Yes. Some people are not smiling. I'm sorry. I'm not happy that you are not smiling. You don't understand the message I'm preaching. I said, I know that your party did not win, but thank God and smile and make some noise, because we are living a peaceful life. There's no confusion in the country. What a blessing. In less than 24 hours, we know who is the president. And we know who is not the president. Hey, Ghana is a blessed nation. In my country, since 7th October, we don't know who has won the election. We are grateful. Hallelujah. Yes. So, let us try as people not to be ungrateful and unthankful. And we must learn not to complain You see, complain. You see, you can complain about everything. Because nobody has everything. And nobody has enough. And if you have to complain, you will keep complaining now. But in the scripture, the Bible says, do all things without murmurings and complainings. Philippians 2:14. It's a scripture. It's a command. It's something to obey. That we are not allowed to complain and to murmur and to speak against. And you see how God reacted against people who spoke against, who complained, who murmured. For example, in Numbers chapter 11, verse 1, the Bible says, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. So God's anger was stirred up against people who complained. Complain about God's servant, complain about their pastor, complain about everything that God was doing through his servant. You see, one of the blessings that God has saved us from is the revelation, the teachings on loyalty for us as a church. Because, and the different messages that we have been taught from the scriptures, like honoring, not speaking against your pastor, and all these type of things. Because when you look into the Bible, you will see that God was really against people who spoke against his servants and complained and murmured. It really displeased the Lord. I mean, for God to send fire to consume a whole group in a camp, not because they were doing something, whatever, apart from complaining, just murmuring and complaining and speaking against. It's that God was displeased. It means that God doesn't like it. Tell somebody, God doesn't like complaining and memories. Yes. Because it depicts the very nature of Satan. Satan is the one who was complaining about his status as an angel. That he wasn't happy at where he was. And that he really wanted to have a seat above even the Most High. You see, people who complain are people who are discontented. Discontented people are memories and complainers. So it displeased the Lord. God was not happy about it. And in Numbers chapter 25, another group of people also complain. They complain about food, about bread. I mean, can you imagine that you wake up early in the morning, right? And then you come out of your camp, your house, and there is a plate of rice with chicken, free delivery from heaven. Angels have come to set a table right at your doorstep. And then you just come up and you sit and you wash your hands and then you enjoy yourself. But these people were not excited about such miraculous moves by God. They were not excited about it. I mean, God has special shares from heaven that they cook every morning and bring the food. And then they were even told that when they finish eating, they shouldn't keep the leftovers because God is not short of bread or short of anything. I mean, there's food for them anytime, any day. But they were saying, oh, you know, the food is too light. The food is too light. God knows what can sustain you. God knows the food that when you eat, it will keep you from sickness. It will keep you from diabetes. It will keep you from any terminal diseases that can remove you. Elijah was given just one meal. The angel said, this meal will take care of you for the next 40 days. You will not be hungry. It will be enough. Yes. And for 40 years, Bible says that their garments, it's like their raiments were never old. It's like they never was old. It's like they were looking fresh because of what they were eating. Yes. Because what you eat contributes to your health. to a large extent, what you eat and what you drink. Yes. If you're an Ashanti man who eats fufu morning, afternoon, evening, you know, high carbohydrates, it also comes with problems. Yeah, God says, I'll bless your water and I'll bless your food, that when you eat, the diseases that are falling on the Egyptians shall not come near. Because of what you are eating, I'll bless the food for you. Yet these people will complain, murmur, criticize, and the Bible says, and God sent fiery serpents to bite them and to kill them. Fiery serpents. So complaining and murmuring. So when the Bible says, do all things without complaining and murmuring, God is very wise. He's trying to save you, save me from something that exposes you to devils. Devils. Fires. Serpents. Things that can harm you. Doors that when they are opened, your whole life can be affected. So whether it's in marriage or you are working in a place, don't complain. Be happy. Be content. Husband, stop complaining about your wife's stomach. After he has given you, she has given you five children, do you think the stomach will be the same again? And you are putting your wife on unnecessary pressure. She's thinking of going to the gym. She's thinking of doing some diet, whatever. This is your stomach. You have to do something about it. You are losing control. It's becoming something else. You have to look at the stomach and say, hey, is this the same stomach that has given me five wonderful children? And give a slap to the stomach and say, God bless this stomach. God bless this stomach. Instead of being sarcastic and making your wife feel that she's no more beautiful, she's no more attractive, she's no more liked. Tell your neighbor, stop complaining. Stop complaining. Yes. It displeased the Lord. Yes. Yes. Don't be in this church and be complaining. Yes. God doesn't like it. Don't be part of this family and be complaining. God has blessed her with a beautiful family. There's so much anointing and power upon this ministry. We are graced. Something supernatural. So it is a good thing to give thanks to God. And when you learn to be thankful, you become a grateful person. And a grateful person will always be a graceful person. You'll be full of grace. The mercies of God will always be with you. The presence of God. See, God's presence is always looking for people who are grateful and thankful. That's why David said that enter into his gate with thanksgiving. It's that what is required to access God's presence is thankfulness, is gratitude. And David had the presence of God in his life because he lived a life of gratitude. Hallelujah. I said David lived a life of gratitude. And because of that, he had the presence of God on his life. 2 Samuel 5 verse 10. And David went on and grew great, and the Lord God of hosts was with him. The Lord God of hosts was with him. Because he lived a thankful life. In Psalm 55 verse 17, David said, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. David used to pray, call on God three times, in a day. But in Psalm 119 verse 164, 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgment. 7 times. So David was more praiseful than prayerful. He thanked God, he praised God more than he prayed to him. That was the lifestyle of David. No wonder he had the presence of God in an amazing way. That the Lord God of hosts was in, because of that he grew. He became powerful. He became great. May you live a life of thankfulness so that you will carry the presence of God in your life. And the presence of God will wax you great. It will make you become great. Yes. Bible says, and Joseph, God was with Joseph, and he became a prosperous man. I mean, look at the things Joseph went through in life. You never saw Joseph complain, even once. Not even once. How his own brothers hated him, sold him out, how he went into Potiphar's house, helped in everything, and Potiphar's wife lied against him, accused him of rape. And how he was arrested, put in jail, and how he helped the butler, and the butler did not remember. It's like all the bad things that happened to this man could have made him bitter to complain. But he maintained a good spirit. That in the end, when he even met his brother, he said, "You people meant it for evil, but God turned it for my good." He was not bitter. He didn't complain. He was just a grateful person and thankful to God that in all the things that he went through, it's like God was involved and God was with him. Yes. So that's the secret to having the presence of God in your life. But when you are a complainer and a murmurer, I tell you, your life will be full of demons. Evil spirits. Any home where there's a lot of complaining and memories, you see that the atmosphere is even different. There's no happiness in the house. The wife is always complaining. The man is also complaining. And it never ends. And in the end, there's no happiness. There's strife. And Bible says, where there's strife, every evil thrives. So as a church and as people, let's learn to be thankful and grateful. And again, when you are thankful, you also bring the supernatural element into your life. The supernatural element of multiplication, of abundance, also comes into your life. Instead of complaining about what you don't have, or whether what you have is very little, learn to say thank you to even the little. Yes. And that makes you a candidate for much. Anybody who can say thank you for the very minute or the very little things that are done for them are automatic candidates for the big things. I remember some few years ago, I was planning to bring some people to a Bible school from Mozambique. There were 8 of them. I mean, they went through the process, the interview. They were admitted. Now, it was left for me to get them tickets. A ticket costs almost about $1,000. And I had to buy tickets for 8 of them. Everything from the church. Not from their family. Their family are not interested in such things. So we did everything, including getting passports for them. Everything was done by the church. But then, it happened that we couldn't afford tickets for all of them. But I had promised them that everybody was going. So they had come from different places across the country to Maputo. And then, unfortunately, actually, they were about 13. And then we could send only 5 of them. So I had a meeting with them. I said, you know, we were trying to get tickets for all of you to go, but we can afford only 5. Of course, those who were not selected were disappointed. They were sad. and all that. But there was one particular guy. He got up to say, Bishop, I just want to say thank you for the effort you've made. You did a passport. You got a visa for us. You helped us in all the processes. We understand that we are a lot. Next year, we believe that by the grace of God, we'll have our chance to go. Yes. I mean, I was affected, but the rest had nothing to say. So after, then I gave them money that everybody, this is money to take your transport in and out. The money you spend to come here, I'm giving it back to you with something extra. So I gave everybody money. Then I asked one of our pastors to give them a lift in his car to take all of them to the bus stop, the transport, whatever, station. Then I left to go into another meeting. So I was there, and then this same guy comes to ask to speak to me. I went, he said, oh, Bishop, we just received money for our transport. And I just wanted to say thank you for the money. And also for asking this pastor to take us to the transport station. I said, oh, that's a blessing. So I said, safety. Arrived safely. And then they left. But as I was having a meeting, I couldn't concentrate. I kept thinking about the guy. I couldn't concentrate. I said, no, this guy has a good spirit. I like this guy. No. I'm going to personally buy the ticket for this guy to go. So I called the pastor, I said, please, when you drop the people, bring this particular guy back to church. I'm going to buy a ticket personally for him. Yes. Not only that, I gave him my suitcase, I organized my own personal clothes that I believe were anointed clothes, and I gave it to him, and I sponsored him to come to the Bible school myself. Yes. Just because of the attitude. And as I was thinking about it, the Holy Spirit said to me, this is how the Father feels. When you can learn to say thank you for even in your disappointment, you can say thank you. You are not happy about the situation, but the response is that you must be thankful in all things. Yes. God is watching the way you respond to some of the bad experiences of your life. He's looking at you. I was affected. I mean, I just couldn't concentrate. I kept thinking about this guy. And I said, you know, this guy should come back. I'm going to help him. I pray that God will help you. Because you are grateful for even the little things. Even in your disappointment, you have maintained the right attitude of thankfulness and gratitude. In John chapter 6, verse 5. And Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him. And he said unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? Verse 6. And he said this to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Say, Jesus knew what he would do. Yes. Philip answered, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. We always will not have enough. And that's where the complaining starts. This government has not helped us, you know. The city has depreciated so much. My salary is halved. This has been the natural, normal practices of human beings. Philip said, the economy is very hard. 5,000 cities can do nothing. After you buy your food, it's over. But Jesus was not thinking about the economy. He himself knew what he would do. also came complaining. There is a lad here with 5 loaves of bread and 2 little fishes. But what are they among so many? Everybody is complaining. What are these? Things are hard. Things are difficult. It's not easy to live in Ghana. Listen, it's not easy to live anywhere in the world. I've met people in Europe and America. Their dream is to come back to Ghana. Their dream is to come back to Ghana. The only problem is that they don't have tickets to buy to come. But Jesus knew what he would do. Because Jesus was a student of the scriptures. The Bible says at the age of 12, he sat at the feet of the doctors, both learning, hearing, and asking questions in Luke 2:47. He had learned the scriptures. He knew what he would do. He had learned Jeremiah 30 verse 19. That out of them shall proceed the mouth of thanksgiving and the voice of them that make merry. And for that reason, he said, I will multiply them that they shall not be few. I will glorify them that they shall not be small. He knew what he would do. He knew how to get the few to be multiplied. By giving thanks in verse 11 of John 6. He gave thanks. Out of them shall proceed the mouth of thanksgiving. Jesus gave thanks. When he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples and the disciples to them that were set down. And in the end, the 5 loaves of bread were multiplied. It fed over 5,000 people and there were still leftovers. Jesus knew what he would do. So thanksgiving is actually the master key to your multiplication. And in the realms of the spirit, when God decides to activate the supernatural power over your life, everything in your life multiplies. It doesn't increase, it multiplies. And when he had given thanks, everything in his hand multiplied. Learn to say thank you for the very little things in your life. Be grateful. Be thankful. Always, in all things. And you will provoke the supernatural over your life. The grace of multiplication will come upon your life in everything that you are doing. I will multiply them, they shall not be few. And I will glorify them. You want to see glory? The beauty of God? Be a thankful person. Be thankful. Be thankful. Jesus stood by dead boy Lazarus. He received a text message that his friend Lazarus was sick. He never went to see him after 4 days. Then he died and was buried. Finally, when he got home, he saw everybody wailing, crying. He also wept. Then Martha, Mary, they came with an attitude of complaining. That you, we sent you a message. How are you, my shepherd? My lovely shepherd. Where were you when I needed you? Do you know that song? I had a problem. I needed you. And I called on you. And you didn't show up. Now you are coming when our brother is already dead and buried. Did you not receive the message? Did you not hear about it? They were not happy with him at all. Then Jesus said, shh. Were you not in church last 2 weeks when I preached about faith? That if thou wouldest believe, you will see the glory of God. Have you forgotten that message I preached about? So yeah, remember. Then suddenly it's like the attitude started changing. That even now, you can do something. Even now. I mean, after I've remembered the message, I realized that with you, nothing is too late. With you, nothing is impossible. You are the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for you? No. There's somebody here, I pray that you will believe that delay does not mean denial. The fact that your long-awaited miracle has not materialized does not mean Jesus has forgotten about you. I see your miracle coming in the name of Jesus. Maybe in the last 10 months or 11 months of this year, things have not been so good to you. But I prophesy over your life from now to the end of December and the end of this year, God will step in your life. God will come at the point of your need. God will glorify that situation. He will glorify himself in that death situation. Receive it in the name of Jesus. If thou wouldest believe. That's what the Bible says in Hebrews 10 verse 30. It says that, for you have in need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you obtain the promise. And the Bible says that in all things, give thanks to God, for this is the will of God concerning you. So giving thanks in every situation, especially in bad situation, is the will of God.
That's right.
And when you can do that, you will see the glory of God. You obtain the promise. So Jesus stood by stinking dead young Lazarus, who had been buried for 4 days. When everybody thought it was over, when they had confessed to Jesus, by now he's thinking, Jesus knew what he would do. Say, Jesus knew what he would do. And what did he do? He just gave thanks and glorified the situation and shouted and called out, Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth. And of course, there were many Lazarus that were dead and buried. So, this one wanted to get up. Jesus says, not you. This one wanted to get up. Jesus says, oh. A lot of them say, no, but this particular one, God is coming to you. He's directing all his attention on you. He's bringing you out of the grave. He's changing that stinking situation, that embarrassing and shameful experience of your life. God is turning the story around. Receive the glory of God for your life in the mighty name of Jesus. I will glorify them because out of their mouth proceeded thanksgiving and the voice of them that make merry. That's what provokes the supernatural. You'll see glory as you learn to glorify God, be thankful to God in everything. It doesn't matter at all. Just follow the scriptures. For this is the will of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. This is the will of God. The will of God that you give thanks in everything. That's God's wisdom key. Receive multiplication. As you become thankful and as you become grateful to God. Now, how do you say thank you? Number one, as I end. Psalm 96 verse 3. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. Declare his glory. That means share your testimony. Sharing your testimony is one of the ways to express your thanksgiving to God or even to people who have been good to you. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. You can't be silent about what God has done in your life. It's a sign of ingratitude. People who don't say thank you, who never say thank you for what has been done for them, who are silent about what has been done for them, as though nothing has been done for them, as though hands have never been laid on them before, as though they were never appointed as pastors, ordained as reverend ministers, consecrated as bishops. People who don't have anything to say about what has been done for them are ungrateful people. And such people experience the fire and the fiery serpents of life. They don't do well. What has brought you to where you are today? How come nobody knows what has been done for you? Sometimes you see people speak, you can get confused because they speak as though they just woke up and the world just changed for them. Meanwhile, there are real people in their lives who have contributed to the making of who they are. Even to be in a church like this and be a normal person with a normal marriage and life is going on, look, there are pastors who are praying for you. There are people who meet, who gather. I mean, in my church, all the full-timers, we wake up 2 a.m. every Sunday. We pray out to 6. Pastors join us at 4 a.m. They also pray out to 6. It's like prayer is going on every now and then. And then you, with your own spirituality, sitting in the church, lack of prayerlessness, yet things seem to be going on normally for you. What you don't know is that you have a shepherd over your soul who is praying, who is interceding, who is doing things on your behalf. Yes. Things have been done for us to make us have a normal life. At least an average life. But it's important that you declare, let people know how God blessed you, how God changed you, and the vessel God used to bless and to change your life. Instead of keeping quiet. You see, in the story of the madman of Gadara in Mark chapter 5, when Jesus cast out the demons and he was freed, you know, the Bible says in Mark 5 verse 15, when they came and saw him that were possessed with legion, sitting, clothed, and was in his right mind, they marveled. They were shocked that this guy that nobody could tame. Bible said, no, not with chains nor fetters. Suddenly, this guy can sit. This guy that when you put clothes on him, you remove them and throw them somewhere. This guy who will go and live in the tombs and in the mountains. Suddenly, he was sitting quietly, calm. It was a marvel to all of them. Then the Bible says, this man said to Jesus, Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to follow your ministry. Anywhere you go, I'll follow you. And Jesus said, no. Verse 19, he said, I want you to go and tell your friends great things the Lord has done and how he has had compassion on you. He said, that's how to say thank you. Go and tell people. Go and tell people how God has been merciful, be kind to you. Go and tell people of how the life of Bishop Dakiwa's ministry and the churches he has started and planted all over the world has contributed to your normalcy in life. Let people know. Go and tell your friends. You see, there's a place where you tell friends what God has done in your life and the vessels God has used to bless you. That's how I'm showing you how to say thanks. Yes. Mr. Husband, sometimes let people know how your wife has contributed to your greatness. Don't be quiet about it. It's important. Hallelujah. I don't know why you're all quiet. Have I said something bad? Yes. It's important to let people know. It's important. Your contribution. Their contribution. It's important. It's important to let people know how your husband has been so nice and caring. Even though he looks hard to the outside world. They have to know that my husband is such a caring, nice husband. Even though he looks very hard on the outside. But if we were to live with my husband for even 24 hours, you may worship him. Yes. It's important. Yes. Go and tell your friends great things the Lord has done and how he has had compassion on you. Yes. God has had compassion on all of us. Yes. How come your friends don't even know that you come to church? That on Sunday you are sitting on the third row in church. You are very close to the pastor. Your colleagues do not know. They don't know that you go to church. They don't know that you are even a chorister. I mean, the choir was singing beautifully this afternoon. Put your hands together for the choir. Yes. When we put the church pictures on our Facebook pages, you will never share. Especially when you are inside. People will be shocked to see that you are in the choir. You are also a chorister in the church. But there's a reason we put pictures. It advertises the church for people to know that there's a beautiful place they can also come and serve God and know God. Yes. How great things. How great things. Go and tell your friends. And some of you cannot tell your friends because you are not really changed. The madness is still there, unfortunately. But this man, when they saw him sitting, some of you cannot sit in one place. Even in the church, this is about your fifth church this year. It's a sign of something. Legions are at work. You can't settle. You can't sit. Settling. Stability. It's a sign that you are cured of something. Yes. But when you are jumping from one woman to the other, one man to the other, it's a sign that there are some legions that have arrested your mind. Something is not working here. Even the way you dress also shows whether up here is okay. Because when they saw the man clothed, instead of dressing to show your G-string, how does it help us? Bishop, you don't have such people in the church. Maybe when I go to Mozambique, I'll go and preach this message. Could that city church don't have such people? I know that our first lady, our mommy, has taught you how to dress. So you don't have such problems. So I'm speaking to my church members in Mozambique. Clothes. And was in his right mind. Your mind can be on the left, not on the right. He was thinking properly. And because of that, Jesus said, go and tell your friends. That's how he expressed his thankfulness. He declared the works, the wonders of God. And the Bible says he went to 10 cities, Decapolis, and published the things that God, the gospel, the power of God, God's mercies and grace, and how God can transform a madman into a preacher. Yes. That's how to express your thankfulness. Become a preacher. Tell people about the good news. Preach to your colleagues at work. Tell your mates and your friends that Jesus is alive. Salvation is real. Tell them once you were a sinner, but you have been saved by grace. Go and tell them. Go and tell them. A prophet wrote a book, Tell Them. It's even a song. Tell them. Yes. So learn how to express your thankfulness by sharing your testimony and declaring to the world the wonders of God and how God is merciful. Number two. I'm ending soon. Sing praises unto God. Sing praises unto God. Psalm 105 verse 2. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Psalm 69 verse 30. I'll praise the name of God with a song, and I'll magnify him with thanksgiving. Psalm 28 verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I'm helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song would I praise him. With my song would I praise him. Hallelujah. Yes, that's why we sing praises and songs and spiritual songs. It's our way of expressing our thankfulness to God. Number three. Give a sacrificial offering of thanksgiving unto God. Hallelujah. Psalm 116 verse 12. David said, what shall I render unto Jehovah? For he has done so very much for me. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? And in verse 17 he said, this is what I will do. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will offer unto God the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Yes, giving offering is one of the most powerful ways of expressing your gratitude to God. Giving, and of course, even giving to people. Sometimes you have to give to people to say thank you. Not that you are meeting a need, but you are giving to say thank you. It's your expression of love to the person who has been good and been kind to you, who has been there for you. That you have to learn to give an offering of sacrifice. It's like what you are giving must be costly. You see people that God has been so kind and so merciful, they will not even pay tithe. Even tithe is a problem. You have forgotten what God has done for you. You have forgotten the mercies of God over your life. You have forgotten that if God had not been on your side, the enemy would have eaten you up. And then when you have the chance to express your love by honoring him with your tithe, first and best, that one we have to negotiate with you. It shows how ungrateful you are. And it takes something from you. But David said, I will give a sacrifice. I will give unto thee a sacrifice of thanksgiving. I'll come with an offering to say thank you. And my offering will be very sacrificial. It will not be one of those offerings that will not cost me anything. I will give something very sacrificial to say thank you. And as a church, one of the things that we do, especially in the month of December, is for us to get an envelope and come with a special Thanksgiving offering. And I'm praying and I hope that you are getting yourself ready to come and thank God for your life, for the life of your family, for the work, for everything that you have experienced and been through and how you have come to survive and all that God has done and all that God is doing in your life. You have something to come and say, thank you, obrigado in Portuguese. At least today you can learn one Portuguese word to take home. Obrigado. Obrigado, Senhor. Obrigado, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I came with an offering. You have been so good to me this year. The fact that I'm alive. Even if you don't have anything to say thank you. Say thank you for the gift of life. Basic, but very expensive and very powerful. Psalm 150, verse 6, it says, let every man that has breath give thanks or praise the Lord. You can breathe. Some of us are breathing more than necessary. The oxygen in the room, you are taking 90% and giving your wife only 10%. Your nose and your mouth are both open and you are taking them in. Oh. And you won't come and say, Lord, I want to thank you with an amount of 20,000. I say meticash. I thought I was in Mozambique. 20,000 cedis. You can't pay for these things. The gift of life. That's why it's as basic as. He said, let every man that has breath. If you can breathe. Breathe in. Breathe out. He said, if you can do that, then. You have to praise God. Yes. It was when COVID came that we saw the importance of this scripture. Yes. Yes. See oxygen masks. See how expensive it was. And you wouldn't even get some. I remember a missionary from another country was a doctor. He sent me a video. He was in the ward. And people were crawling. Gasping for air. So they were gasping. And they were watching on a screen in their room. As they were dying, all they needed was to breathe. And then he said, God has not done anything for you. What shall I give unto God for all his benefit towards me? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth, who healeth thee of all thy diseases? Who forgiveth thee of all thy sins? Forgiveness of sin is a major blessing. He said, God has not dealt with us according to our sins. And if he was to deal with us according to our sins, he said, who shall stand? As far as the east is from the west, so has the Lord blotted away our transgressions. These are higher blessings from God. But for your sins to be forgiven, the many times you have lied, the many times you have been proud, the many times you have been evil, God overlooked and showed you mercy. Who healed thee of all thy diseases? Healed. Ongoing. God is healing. He keeps healing. Because you can wake up one day and your world has come to an end. The doctor is telling you, you have only 3 months left. Meanwhile, you are normal walking like this. It's God who has kept us. Bible says we are kept by his power. There's some power that is released to keep you, to protect you, to preserve your life. And you must learn to be grateful and be thankful for these things. Yes. So, honor the Lord with a sacrificial thanksgiving. Every one of us here must prepare a special offering before the year ends and come to the house of God and say, Lord, I am not paying for everything you have done for me, but I have this to say thank you. Thank you for all you have done and all that you keep doing in my life. How many things is a good idea? Put your hands together for the Lord. Yes. Yes. And it's also an indicator of your love to God. Oh, yes. And some of you, you have to also learn to even say thank you to your pastor. Thank you to our prophet. Thank you to our mother. And then to even your own parents. Amen. Yes. Some of you, your parents have to beg you for money. It's a mistake. Oh, Kofi. If you can bring some bag of rice to help us for. No. If your mother will ever call you, your father will ever call you and ask you for things, it's a mistake. Big one. No. No. Tell your neighbor, no. Now. It's a big mistake. Yes. You have to go to individual people to say, thank you. Learn it. Thank you. I have a gift. It's just to say, thank you. This is for you. I just want to say, thank you. Learn it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes, learn it. Sometimes write a note to say thank you. Sometimes write a note to your husband to thank him. Mention 25 things that you are grateful to him about. And then your wife, write 50 things you are grateful to God about. Oh, yes. I always say thank you when my wife gives me food. I always. I thank her. Even when sometimes the food doesn't work, I still thank her. It's not every time the food works, isn't it? Yes. But most of the time it works. But you see, let it become part of you. Say thank you. The woman has been in the kitchen. Oil has been burning her hand. Her fingers falling to oil. Then he comes and then gives you some nice whatever. Some small pepper that was not inside the thing. No? You are bored. You are angry. You push the food and walk away. I mean, how does it help? At least eat some small and then pretend that you are full. And so, thank you. I couldn't eat a lot because there was not enough pepper. Maybe if there was pepper, I would eat a lot. But thank you for the effort. Is it not better than turning your face into some morose, sad, angry face and you take it to the bedroom and then you are bored. You spark your car. You just set your car engine on. You say, I'm coming. Then you go and sit in a restaurant and eat. Hey, I know some men, when they are not happy with their wife or maybe food or something, they pretend as if they are dying, they are sleeping in hunger. But actually, they are born to eat and come. Yes. Then they will come and say that, I came home, there was no food. Meanwhile, you have eaten before you came. Anyway, so be thankful. And some of you, as we are ending the year, you should, especially brothers. Today I'm talking to the brothers. Yes. You should give your wife some money for shopping. To say thank you. Yes. So this year you have really been taking care of me, done so many things, laundry, food, whatever. Look, this is $1,000. I don't know what you want, but go out there, buy anything that can work for you. And I think that your wife will be very, very happy. How many wives will be happy if your husband will give you $1,000 for shopping at the end of the year? Yes. You'll be surprised. You know, one day a brother came to me and said, oh, Bishop, I need you to talk to my wife because he's always moody. He's always unhappy. She's always unhappy. She's always moody. I said, give her $1,000 now and see whether she'll be moody. Because the guy is an arm strong. Very stingy. And you are coming to complain that your wife doesn't smile, she's always unhappy. Sure. It's because there's no money. And you are not helping. And you are not generous. You are not kind. You know, one day I was traveling. My flight was in the morning. No, in the afternoon. And my wife was going to work in the morning. Then I just felt that it's a long time I blessed my wife with money. So I told her, this is money. Some dollars. It was a good amount of money. Hey, when my wife opened the envelope and saw the money, she came to hug me, give me a kiss. She said, I'm coming. She went to make a call to her workplace, told them that today she's not coming to work. Hey! Before I realized, my wife was lying by me in the bed. I said, are you not going to work? He said, no, today I'm not going to work. I've changed my mind. I'm going to spend time with you before you travel. Wow! Before the envelope, she had not made such calls to stay with me in the house. You are there complaining, my wife doesn't smile, my wife looks unhappy. I said, give her $1,000 now and see. She will call and tell her brother she's not coming to work for 1 week. Come on, stand to your feet. If you're a wife and you are standing by heaven, tell the man, give your wife $1,000 and see whether you come and complain that she doesn't smile, she's unhappy. Hallelujah. But how many have learned something today? How to express your thanksgiving to God. 3 ways to express your thanksgiving. Lift up your hands and let's thank God and
done great things. He has done great things. Oh, He has done great things. Oh, and He has done great things. Bless His
soul
and all that you are good, and all the miracles that has brought us, Lord. Oh, we are changed, and all the hope we have, we place in you right now.
And we will say,
and we will say, that you are good, and all the miracles you that has brought us, Lord. For we are changed, and all the hope we have, we place in you right now.
Father, we declare,
Father, we declare, that we love you. We declare our everlasting love for you.
Father, we declare,
Father, we declare,
that we love you.
We declare our everlasting love for you.
Father, thanks a million once again for this time of the year, for watching our lives, watching over our lives, for keeping us alive, and for the gift of life, Lord. The psalmist said, I went to bed and I woke up, for it is the Lord that sustained me. Thank you for your sustenance. Thank you for keeping us together, for your preservation. Thanks for your care. Thanks for all the miracles you've done in our lives. Every day of our lives are full of miracles. To sleep and to wake up is a miracle. To sit in a car, to leave home and come back is a miracle. Some left home and said bye-bye to their family, and that was the last time they saw them. Some went out with both legs and never came back with even one leg. Lord, we cannot say thank you enough. But Lord, we would express our thanksgiving by sharing and declaring the wonders, the miracles you have done in our lives, our salvation. We become preachers and servants of you and tell the whole world that Jesus saves, Jesus heals, Jesus transforms lives. We are grateful. We'll keep singing songs to say thank you, to express our thanksgiving. And Lord, above all, we express our thanksgiving by giving you sacrificial offerings to support your work, and to express our love to you. The Lord, you are good, and there is none like you. Lord, sometimes it's difficult to even know what to do to say thank you. But Lord, with these three things, I pray, let every one of us here leave this room knowing how to express their thankfulness to you all the days of their lives, of how merciful you have been to us, and how kind you have been to us. And not only to you, but even to your servants, to our prophet, and to all the wonderful people in our lives whom you have used to contribute greatly to the making of who we are today. Lord, we owe them our gratitude. Therefore, Lord, give us that heart of gratitude that will always say thank you, and thank you over and over again. Thanks for this beautiful family that you have placed us in. Lord, we are saying thank you for giving us a family like this. We are saying thank you for giving us the pastor and the shepherd that you have given to us over this ministry. We are grateful. We are thankful. Oh, yes. Thankful for the wisdom, the books, the songs, the messages, and all the different things, Lord, that we are enjoying as a family. We say thank you. We will not take them for granted, Lord. And bless everyone who is going to express their thankfulness through a special sacrificial offering
in the course of this month. Lord, remember them and bless them with the grace of multiplication. In the mighty name of Jesus. And let everybody say, amen. What a blessing. All right. Every eye closed, every head bow. If you are here this afternoon, maybe someone invited you to church. Or maybe you found yourself in church on your own this afternoon. However, I want you to know that Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father draws him. Whether you came on your own or you came through an invitation by someone, it is the Lord that has drawn you to be here. And he has drawn you here because he wants you to be saved. So if you are here and you are not saved, you are not born again, you want to say, Pastor, pray with me. I feel that I need to give my life to Christ. I'm not sure of my salvation. I'm not sure whether if I should die today, I will even go to hell or I'll go to heaven. But I want to be sure from today. And I want to be sure from this afternoon. All that I need you to do is to lift up your right hand and I'm going to pray with you. Just your right hand. I'm going to pray with you. Lift your right hand high up. I see your hand, my sister. I see your hand, my brother. My sister over there, I see your hand. God bless you. I see so many hands going up. Pastor, pray with me. Today is my day. I came to church not knowing what is going to happen to me. But as I stand here, I want to give my life to Christ. I want to be sure that I'm saved and I'm prepared for eternity. God bless you. I see many hands going up. Now, if your hand is lifted up, kindly walk to me here. Come all the way in front here. And I'm going to pray with you.
Come on to Jesus. Give him your life today. Come on to Jesus. Let him have his will.
Come on to Jesus.
Come on to Jesus.
Sing, come to Jesus.
Oh,
you want to join them, please kindly walk
on
to the front
Jesus.
Here. Jesus is calling you to save you.
Give him your life today. Come on to Jesus. Let him have his.
Lift up your two hands to the Lord. The whole church, let's lift up our hands together with them. And I want you to pray this prayer after me. Pray from the bottom of your heart and say it loudly. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you today as a sinner because I've made so many mistakes. But please have mercy on me and forgive me for all my sins. I believe that Jesus, you are the Savior of the world. Therefore, save me today through your precious blood. Cleanse me and come into my heart as my Lord and personal Savior. Please write my name in the book of life, for I belong to you now and forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Those of you here, lift up your hand. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray for these ones, Lord. Lord, in 1998, I was only 19 years old. And somebody invited me to church. And I gave my life to Christ on that day. In this same beautiful family. Little did I know that, Lord, you were introducing me into my destiny and my purpose in life. by saving me and adding me to this family. I pray for these ones, Lord. Change their lives. Give them a testimony. Let some become missionaries, pastors, bishops, reverend ministers, ministers of the gospel. Change them because that's what you are good at doing. You are expert of taking the nobody and making him a somebody. Lord, do it for them. Touch their hearts, Lord. May this one love you. May they like you. May they choose you above anything. May they choose you above football. May they choose you above everything that they desire, except to love you, to like you, to follow you, to be in your presence, to dwell in your house all the days of their lives. In the name of Jesus, I pray for this little one, Lord. Change her life. Your word said it is you who cause her both to wail and to do of your good pleasure. I pray that you turn their hearts around. Give them a wailing heart, an obedient heart, a heart that wails and a heart that is interested to follow your ways and your will. That's my prayer for them. And give them a bigger and a greater testimony than myself. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. Right. What a blessing. Now, I want all of you to follow our pastor here. Do you see our pastor who is waving his hand? Follow him. He has an important meeting with you. All right?
Hallelujah.
Bishop Dennis has an announcement.
Please, all those in the Fruitful Believers School, if you can join them now, just come out. You're in the Fruitful Believers School. You know yourself. You gave your life to Christ the last three Sundays. Just take your bag, your Bible, everything, and come quickly. Oh, clap for them as they come. Just follow them. Keep clapping for them as they come. Keep clapping for them. Keep clapping for them as they come. Just come out now. Very quickly. Keep clapping for them. Hallelujah.
All right, you may be seated. We want to receive our tithes. I personally want to pray for people who are tithing. So if you came to church with your tithe, please kindly step forward and let us pray. All right. If you don't mind, I want you to step forward. I want to pray for you. I feel that there's grace enough on the altar that you should step in. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Please lift up your tithe. Let's pray. Father, I pray for these ones who have come to honor you with the tithe. Your word says that the tithe is special. It is holy unto you. That's why they've come all the way with their hands lifted up with what is yours, with what belongs to you. Your word says that they that honor you, you will greatly honor. And they that dishonor you shall be lightly esteemed. In Proverbs chapter 3 verse 9 says, honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruit of thy increase. Lord, they've come to honor you with the first fruit of their increase. Therefore, Father, bestow financial honor over their lives. Anything that would distinguish them and make them men and women of honor, Lord, let it be bestowed upon their lives in the mighty name of Jesus. I declare the heavens opened over their lives. Let the dew of heaven fall upon them every morning of their lives, that they will forever remain green and flourishing always in thy court. In Jesus' mighty name I've prayed. Amen. God bless you, please. Let's receive their tithe. Oh, I need an usher here. There's a basket here. Please put it there. Yes. Be blessed. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Now I want you to take out a very powerful, potent offering this afternoon. Some of you can give 1,000 cedis. Some of you can give even more than that. Some of you can give 500. Let God touch you to give this afternoon. When God wants to change your financial status, He will give you an opportunity to plant a seed, an offering. Solomon went to church and Bible says he gave God 1,000 burnt offering. And that night, the Lord appeared to him and he gave him a blank check. He said, anything you want, I'll give you. Just tell me. And the Bible says Solomon asked for wisdom. But God said, I'll give you wisdom. I'll also give you that which you have not asked. 1 Kings chapter 3 verse 13 said, I'll also give you riches and honor. Because the Bible says that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. He honored God with 1,000 burnt offering. And God decided to bless him with money and honor. You can have money, but without honor. But when God blesses you, He attaches honor to your blessings. So this morning, how many want blessings, honor, prosperity? That is what is coming upon you. So I want you to give. And give way. Give something to honor the Lord. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I declare the blessing that came upon Solomon when he gave 1,000 burnt offering in your house. The Bible said that same night he encountered you and you changed his financial fortunes. Do it for your children as they give today in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right, please come all the way and give your special offering.
My mouth can testify. More than my mind could comprehend. See, I've seen the wonders of your grace. I'm so sure that this is not the end. Oh, Ezebube, see how far you brought me. Ezebube, I'm so glad you found me worthy. I can see, I can tell, and I know it's your grace. All my days I will sing your tell, and I know it's your grace. All my days I will sing your praise. My heart.
All right, Father, we are grateful for our seeds in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let's welcome our bishop, Bishop Derek.
Deus o abençoe por ouvir esta mensagem. Visite hoje www.facebook.com/bishopapache para mais mensagens, vídeos e informações sobre os próximos eventos e muito mais. E lembre-se de que Deus não nos deu o espírito de medo, mas de poder, de amor e de uma mente sã.